Tell me your story.
Tell me your story.
How did it all start? Do you remember?
Oh, now what happened?
How did it stop?
You're now tuned into the Small Business Origins Podcast.
I love an origin story.
Each week, we dive into the real stories of entrepreneurs and businesses from across the nation.
Who is he and what's his origin story?
Who started with just an idea and are now making waves.
I told you this was a good idea.
This is Small Business Origins.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Small Business Origins. You're tuned in. It's our nationwide search. We're looking for entrepreneurs that have a story to tell. And joining me in the studio is an entrepreneur that wants to do just that. His name is Peter Licata. He's with The Field here in Tomball, Texas. He is from Houston, Texas originally. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Heck yeah, man. It is always our pleasure. We say it every single episode, but we mean it. It is awesome getting to meet people, especially people like you who wind up becoming a friend in this thing, you know? So it's like, yeah, we got some business stuff going on, but ultimately we're making new friends, and that's what it's all about. And today for this episode, I get to bring my friend to everybody who takes a listen to this and talk about some really cool stuff you have going on. But before we hop into that, we always start out with an icebreaker question.
Okay.
Today's icebreaker question is, would you rather every light turn green for you or have the best parking spot every time you show up where you're going?
Oh, easy one. Every light turn green. It saves a whole lot of time. I don't mind a little bit of a walk in a parking spot, but every light turning green sounds amazing.
Yeah, that's the thing. I need the walk for the parking spot. So that's exactly what I was thinking about this whole time. I was like, dude, the green lights, not only, even if it doesn't save me time, I'd rather go out of my way to not have stoplights.
Right.
And it take longer to get there if I get to keep moving the whole time.
Absolutely.
That's the thing for me. I don't like stopping. So
yeah,
I'm with you on that one 100%. Well, we're here to talk about you. So we'll hop into that. Who is Peter, man? Where did you come from? How'd you get into entrepreneurship? What's your origin story?
For me, it probably going all the way back to college. I went to Stephen F. Austin, graduated, had no clue what I wanted to do. I mean, truly just not a clue. Got into kind of a sales job, but it was I had a salary. Like, it wasn't commission-based sales. It was just salary-based. And from there, started noticing that no matter how hard I worked, obviously with being a salary, I kept getting the same pay, would look around, and everybody that was doing similar work got paid the same as I did. So it very quickly shifted in my head right out of college that, okay, I need to figure something out, that the more work I put in, you know, the more financially it'll benefit me. From there, actually started looking into what are very popular now, but way back when I graduated, weren't that popular. They just started, was the tunnel car washes.
Oh, yeah.
So super popular now, but you know, back in, you know, 03, 04, 05, it just weren't that popular. Started looking into those. Actually went to a car wash college in Miami. At the time, didn't know they had those.
I was today years old when I learned that was a thing.
Yeah. So went to car wash college and had a good plan, but there wasn't a lot of data out on the car wash, how they did, what the overhead would be, you know, the financial side of it, just, it wasn't there yet. There weren't enough of them out, and could never find, quote unquote, the perfect spot to put one in Houston, but quickly started realizing, well, I can find good sites. I can, you know, look into what makes a good site. I can even flip them to other people that maybe it's not right for me, but it's maybe right for another user. And so kind of fell into the idea of, well, maybe I should be on the real estate side more than the car wash side. And so through some, you know, family and family friend connections, got some interviews with some commercial real estate firms, and then went to work for a local group. That local group allowed me to kind of get into every aspect of real estate. So they allowed me to get into the leasing side. We leased retail centers, managed them, developed them, kind of got to see, you know, all aspects of it. Really enjoyed it. I love people. I love talking to people. So it was a natural fit. In a week, I get to talk to somebody that was opening up their first business, to our landscaper, to a CEO of a, you know, a big restaurant chain. So it was just a unique experience, and really ended up loving it. So from there, worked for a couple different companies, but ultimately started my own company. Through that, you know, our group now is family. So it's me and my father and my sister. We have been in business together for, golly, 12 years.
Wow.
And so we've kind of done everything from restaurants, retail, office, and we all have our strong suits. So we all have, you know, father was an entrepreneur, you know, worked in the hospitality, you know, restaurants, developing hotels. He was an attorney. My sister handles all the finance. She's the smart one in the family. She handles all the finance, you know, relationships with banks, that sort of thing. And so we all have our strong suits. And over the last 10, 12 years have been developing sites and projects together.
Yeah. So what does that mean, developing sites and projects together? I mean, obviously, I'm familiar with what you do, but somebody who's listening, kind of, I guess if they have real estate expertise, they know exactly what you're talking about. But I'm guessing that's going to be something along the lines of kind of like what you did in Houston, where you get a property, renovate it, turn it into something fresh, new, or maybe you build something brand new, and then you're selling that, flipping it, moving on and going to your next project.
Yes. Yes and no. So there have absolutely been cases where in the downturn of 2008, 2009, you know, we bought some pre-existing retail centers, a former bank. And in those cases, we, you know, found the location, figured out how it worked for us, filled up the retail center with new tenants, or in the bank's case, found a new tenant for the former bank, managed it, and then ultimately ended up flipping and selling it. Here recently, though, we've been probably more focused on projects that will stay with us for a longer period of time. Again, the first company I worked for was a great company, but they own some of their own stuff, but then we third party leased and managed for, you know, out of state owners.
Mm.
And it felt at times just more like a machine, like you were cranking to get a lease, a person in place, and just get that thing cash flowing and just, you know, sitting there on its own or flipping it at some point in time. For us, we try to take a little bit more of a personal approach to our projects. So a lot of people would, again, third party, have somebody third party manage it right after it's been leased up. Our goal is we want to be heavily involved in kind of all aspects of the project. So it's important to us to build the project the right way or redevelop it the right way. Do little things that, in our opinion, will bring value not only to the tenants that are going into the projects, but then also the community.
Right.
And then manage it in a way that, you know, yes, we're trying to get the thing profitable and cash flowing, but we're also making sure we're doing the right thing. So the projects we're doing here recently are ground up projects that are retail centers. So we work on finding a good piece of real estate that we think is going to be a good long-term piece of real estate, come up with a plan for what would work best there. So whether that's, in one of our cases, a pad site where we leased to Dutch Brothers and then built a 32,000 square foot retail center around it and kind of focused heavily on the end cap, so we had some really good restaurant options or options for restaurants for patios. Or the case like here in Tomball, where we had an opportunity to buy an existing building. Building just hadn't been updated in a long time.
The
out-of-state owner, you know, they'd wheel out old single unit HVACs, the tenant suites, when the HVAC went out. So it, you know, it needed some TLC. But then we saw that opportunity along with next door and said, well, for us, this is the opportunity to be next to HEB, which is a good long-term thing to be next to.
Sure.
We know how to renovate and operate what today's office should look like, because we had that experience down in Edo pre-COVID. And then we had the opportunity on the retail side to say, okay, we're going to develop the retail center next door to it because we had the retail experience. So for us, it's kind of a wide variety of things. We're opportunistic. Another example is probably in Edo, we have Tiny Champions as a restaurant that the original restaurant was Nancy's Hustle. We bought a piece of property thinking it could be a good restaurant. It's off McKinney in Edo, could be a good opportunity for a restaurant. You know, what's up and coming in the area, what's happening around it, just kind of all the little factors we look for seem like it would be a good fit. And Tiny Champions came and decided to lease it out for their second concept. So, we're pretty opportunistic, I guess. We're not, you know, kind of cookie cutter. This is what we do, and this is only what we're going to do. We're really looking for those opportunities to take a piece of property, either renovate it or build ground up. And over the last 5 to 7 years, it's really been more projects that we're not looking to flip these. These are probably long-term holds for us.
That makes sense. I mean, it seems like that's kind of where a lot of people's heads are going, is kind of taking that. I've seen in Taylor, I guess they've taken like a whole school and renovated that into kind of this big marketplace of co-working, or like opening up your own individual stores inside of there, that kind of thing. And I think that's a really cool concept. What do you think the difference is? Because I know for me personally, when it comes to doing business, especially, I want to do business with people that I jive with. We get along. Especially if I'm renting, you know, something from you, I want you to be accessible, or at the very least, if it's a third party company, I want them to be accessible. But it always feels kind of different with that third party company. You know, they're following every rule to the T, because usually they're not going to be as connected with you. Right. It just seems really disconnected versus renting from someone that I know and can talk to. I've done that on my home real estate side, where I was renting a house and had a third party management company. And in the end, I wound up getting him fired. And then the homeowner coming to me and saying, I wish we would have just communicated this entire time. This has been terrible. So have you seen any real success stories like that from your clients? Are they feeling happier about kind of the rental experience? Like, what benefit does that really bring, a difference between how those are managed?
Yeah, I think there is a place for absolutely a place for third-party management. I mean, I think it's needed, right? But I do think that there have been a lot of times that, and sometimes it's just something the tenant's unhappy with, right? And they don't want to hear it from a third-party, you know, non-owner, you know, no interest in the property other than third-party managing it. They want to hear it from the owner's mouth directly. Right. And I think it helps that we wear both hats, that even if I have to deliver bad news, I want to go either sit down and have the conversation, or at least the tenants know that if there needs to be a conversation, I'm happy to have it. Like, we can sit down and talk about it and figure it out. And in some cases, you know, it's the ability to get a deal done, right? It's the ability to say, okay, this may be a little bit outside the realm of what we were thinking as far as deal points, but this is a tenant, a user, something that we think will benefit the property long term, and I think it's best for the property long term. And I think the problem sometimes with the third party managers or third party people that are handling the property is they're thinking in those boxes, right? They're thinking in those, like, those terms of, well, this is what I was told to do. This is what I need to do. And so this is what I'm going to do. And it doesn't allow for that flexibility at times.
Right.
So I think the vast majority of the tenants that we have at any property we own have my cell phone number. You know, we had this system called, and we still have it, called AppFolio. It's a third party, excuse me, not a third party, but it's a management software system. And it, within that, you can go in and pay your rent, look at your lease. We can run reports in it. But one of the features it had that we probably 7 years ago thought, oh, this is really cool, is there's the ability to, for the tenants to go in and make requests, maintenance requests, right? And so they can make the request, track it. We can see it, send a vendor out to deal with the issue. That it did not go as we planned. So we still have the software for other reasons, but the tenants just felt more comfortable emailing or texting me directly.
Got you.
And so, you know, it just works better for everybody. So that's the direction we went, you know, and I think that's part of also the nice thing about leasing and managing all the properties we have is we're flexible in that way. You know, we're not stuck to these are the rules and this is what you have to do. We are a bit flexible in that sense.
Yeah. I've been to some of those bigger commercial style buildings, you know, like the mid rises and stuff off of like Cypresswood 249 area here in our side of town. And they're just so stuffy, you know, and everybody is to themselves. They all have their own suite that's separate. And it's like when you walk in the field, or even back when you had the headquarters, especially, it was so different. Like it's a different culture in there.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like you're walking into a Google or Apple or some type of tech company where it's like, all right, cool. There's this huge open plan break room that everybody can access, and there's coffee and there's refrigerators and there's, you know, things for you, things for the other people in this suite. There's some really cool amenities. There's a crap ton of really badass conference rooms that have, you know, all their own aesthetics and planning and totally different looks. And it's like, it just feels more comfortable, yeah. I guess is the best way for me to say that. And to me, I kind of attribute that to third party versus somebody who's in it, making it somewhere that they want to be, you know, somewhere that, because every time I come to see you, you're always at that office, you know, in the regular working hours. So it's like, I guess if it's a space you want to be in yourself, you want it to be kind of a cool looking spot.
No, I mean, you hit the nail on the head with specifically two of the comments. Was one, we wanted to create an office that we would want an office in.
Yeah.
Right. So me and my father and my sister, when we created headquarters, when we looked at the field, it was, okay, how can we take, in the case of headquarters, this old dingy 36,000 square foot warehouse and turn it into a Google campus for small businesses that we would want an office in ourselves, you know? Same thing with the field. How can we take this kind of outdated, very, you know, beige, it's beige everywhere, bank building.
Those old like brick floors too that were in it and, yeah.
So it was, you know, how can we create somewhere we'd want an office in? And then how can we create for a small business that can't afford the big Google campus?
Sure.
How can we create that for small businesses? And we feel like if we can do that in both these places, they'll be successful. So that was truly two of the main goals is how can we do that?
What I love about the concept too, if our listeners are listening, they're like, what the hell is a co-working space? You know, like I've never heard of a co-working space in my life. It's really cool for the solopreneur and it's really cool for the home entrepreneur. You know, if you need a place to go have a meeting, you don't want to bring, like I've done this when I was running my DJ company all by myself. I just officed out of my house and then I would have, you know, phone conversations and stuff. But when it came to in-person conversations, this was pre-COVID. I mean, this was like 2009 to about 2013, where I was having meetings with bride and grooms or people who were hosting parties that I was going to DJ in my house. Yeah. And it wasn't just in my house, like come in my dining room or the living room. No, we had to walk upstairs to my office.
Right.
You know, and it was such an awkward interaction. And it's like, well, cool. Now that I know I could have had a very low monthly payment and have 24-hour access to a conference room.
Yeah.
If that's all I need to where I can just show up, bring my client to a conference room, have a meeting and then leave.
Right.
And we're good to go, you know, all the way up to, you've got some really, speaking of the field here in Tomball, you have some really awesome and large office layouts.
Yeah.
That are, you know, if you do have a team of 7-8 people, that's perfectly fine too. So I think you have a little bit of something for everybody, but
yeah. And that's the way, it was very intentional the way we created, you know, the first floor is more traditional. So we have, you know, State Farm, which, you know, friends with those guys now, Silver Accounting, love those folks over there. Bank of America takes half the first floor, but then upstairs, you know, we have really something for everybody. So we have kind of your traditional co-working where if you want to, you know, have a little monthly subscription, you really need conference room use, it's come and go. We have that. We have one person suite all the way up to, I think one of our bigger companies now has expanded into, I think, 7 different suites in a bullpen area, and they have 14 people. So it's, you know, kind of everywhere in that range. We really have options for everybody.
So what are we looking like on the rental range on that? You know, is that something from like $50 a month to $5,000 a month, or how does your pricing work?
Yeah. So, the co-working, where it's just co-working, you don't have a dedicated office, but you have internet, utilities, kitchen area, conference room access is $250 a month. Our private one person suites are $475 a month. And then it kind of slowly staggers after that. I think because of how many offices one of the tenants upstairs took, I think theirs ended up being $3,500. But they've taken a corner of the upstairs space of the entire upstairs floor.
So, for sure.
Yeah.
So how do you think that works for entrepreneurs who are trying to save money? You know, maybe I am a company that's kind of started up. I mean, what I'm thinking of is average rent has to be $2,500 or above if you're looking for a traditional space. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, I think it depends on the size. I think what a lot of people don't think about at the time is they look at what's my rent number, right?
Right.
And so, but what you have to also think about is what's my rent number? What are the utilities going to cost? Internet, you know, it starts to stack up,
right?
And it starts to, you start adding to that number. Whereas at someplace like the Field, it's literally all inclusive. So you pay your rent and that's all. You don't pay utilities. You don't pay internet. We have fiber internet. It's all set up for you to do what you do best, which is your business, and let us do what we feel like we do well, which is run the building, you know? So yeah, it depends on your square footage, but very quickly you can get to, you know, $2,500 a month for a small team. And maybe it's the case now where a lot of people are remote, or they come in the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but Monday, Friday is remote. So it's not, you're not renting space that you're not using all of.
Absolutely.
So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's kind of the difference between renting an apartment and then going and buying a house.
Yeah.
You know, you don't realize it's like, well, I can rent an apartment, but I'm going to pay, you know, $2,000 for a one bedroom or two bedroom, and that's just too much. And it's right. Like, well, yeah, but if it includes your trash, your water, your electricity, it includes everything. When your AC goes out, you make a call to maintenance,
right. You
know, right. Versus when you own it, it's yours. And right. Now you've got landscaping you got to pay for, you have upkeep you got to pay for, you've got things that break down you got to pay. All these things add up and become such a huge expense. So I see exactly where you're coming from. It's like, if you need a one person suite and you're paying that $450, almost $500 for a one person suite,
right?
It's all inclusive. You're right. Saving so much money. And then, yeah, it's a no brainer for me, but it's something I wasn't even familiar with really until we kind of started meeting you and talking to you, because I had heard about these other competitors, you know, that have the big ones that have like locations everywhere and stuff. And I'm like, it's cool, but I just couldn't really see why. But then when you walk in and there's a difference in culture,
yeah,
it's like, okay, now this concept makes sense to me.
Well, and I think for us too, and this maybe gets back to a little bit of the, you know, being flexible, is we understand that eventually a lot of people want to go from renting to owning a house, right? So we have a couple of companies now that my guess is in the next couple of years, they're going to come to me and say, okay, we either need more space, or okay, we've kind of outgrown you and now, you know, we need to move on. And we, you know, we sign 1 year leases, right? So it's not an overly long commitment. But we tell people all the time, in that 1 year span, if you're 6 months into your lease, you signed for a 3-person suite and business is going great, which for a couple of tenants, we've had that here in the last year, we'll bump you into a bigger suite, and we'll start your lease over. You can just take the last 6 months and do that. And then we've had a couple of tenants that have come to us and said, hey, I took this 4-person suite. The two people I hired just did not work out.
Mm.
Do you have anything available that's maybe a little bit less? Cause it's just going to be me and another associate for a while. And we've bumped them down into a 2-person suite. So we try to be as flexible as we can. We get that a lot of these companies are, you know, just starting out and they need that flexibility. And that's part of the challenge for them, maybe even going from that home office to an office, is, oh, gosh, I don't want to sign a 3 or 5 year lease, or, you know, even sometimes a year is just, hey, I'm starting out. I don't know that I want to make this commitment. So we're trying our best to make it as painless as possible to make that next step.
Yeah, that's insane. So all of this work that had to come into, because, you know, like you, I'm familiar with that building and the way it looked beforehand. Yeah. So I know that your work was cut out for you, and a little shout out to Tomball's Economic Development Corporation here. But
100%.
I know that you had to spend quite a bit of money renovating this place, and I'm sure that you saved quite a bit of money by taking advantage of TEDC. So if you would just tell us a little bit about kind of how extensive the project was. I mean, I'm not going to be tacky and say, hey, give me the number you spent on it, bro. But, you know, were we talking thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands or millions, or, you know, these are big renovation projects. Yeah. And did EDC really step up and help you out with some of that stuff?
Yeah. So I will say that I know a couple of people that live and work in Tomball, and they had good things to say about Tomball. But beyond that, I'd been out here before, I'd looked for properties before, but I had never, you know, been here day to day worked it or done a big project here before.
Yeah.
And I 100% honest, I heard mixed things. I heard, oh my gosh, it's a nightmare to deal with. I heard, oh no, they're fine. Kind of every, you know, gamut of the spectrum. For us, for our group, Tomball, the EDC, they've been amazing. It's been really refreshing. I mean, we do projects in Houston. We have some projects in Colorado. Doing business in Tomball and working with the EDC has been a very refreshing experience. Yeah. So
they're helpful.
They're super helpful. And I feel like they've all become friends, right? I mean, we talk about how we met and, you know, through business and now have become friends. I feel like that with the EDC as well and the chamber and everybody here. The building, it needed a lot of work. So we had brand new HVACs, new roof. I mean, it was quite a bit of work. The EDC was helpful in explaining how they could be of benefit, how they could help, and then really, you know, standing behind that. They were a tremendous help. For us, it was, we could do the project, but we probably couldn't have done a lot of the fun stuff that make the project unique. It would have been maybe a little bit more simple, boring, I don't know what you want to call it, without that help. They stepped up in a big way, and they continue to. I mean, we have tenants that the first thing we do when we start talking to them, especially if they're wanting to sign a longer than a 1-year lease, like the downstairs tenants, and now some of the upstairs tenants, is we tell them the first thing you need to go is go talk to the EDC.
Yep.
They are pro-business, pro-growth. They have some programs that could be very beneficial to your company, and will help make the transition into the field even easier. They've been great to work with. And really, I want to say we would have done the project if we couldn't have got their help, but also there's stuff that pops up, right? I mean, the retail center we're building next door, there are costs that popped up that without the EDC's help, it could have killed the project.
Yeah.
And so they've been unbelievable to work with. They've been great.
And not that project, because that's a cool one.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. You already know I work for the fire department. Every single tour, we go to HEB first day.
Right.
And as we're pulling out of HEB, we're staring directly at your new property. And I've always been amazed at how fast it's been moving, because I feel like we had just talked about it a couple of weeks ago. And then all of a sudden now I'm looking and I mean, that thing, what, 6 months max left on it? How long do you have until that's developed and done?
So big shout out to Denmark Construction. They're our GC on that project. They've been unbelievable to work with. We'll be done with the shell. So the building, landscaping, everything, probably the end of May.
And then, oh my God.
Yeah, it's been great. And then after that, the tenants though will take probably
their build out and all that. Yeah.
Which will be another 4 to 6 months.
Sure.
So, that's another project where the EDC, they were tremendous in how they helped and really showed that Tomball is pro growth, pro development in the right way.
100%.
I mean, and they want to see it done right. And thanks to them, we're able to really do that project the way we want to have it done and be a big benefit for the community. So again, this is a project that we'll hold in our family for a long time. And so when we do that, we want to make sure that it's not only something that, sure, we want to have it cash flowing and doing well, but we want it to be an amenity for the community, not just, oh, there's another retail center that got built. And, you know, we'll do some extra things that you'll start to see, you know, towards the end of May. It's great seeing it all come together at the end, because all the fun stuff happens at the end, the lighting, the painting, the landscaping.
Right.
And without the EDC's help, some of that stuff just would not have gotten done.
Absolutely.
You know? So
what do you have anything set for, like what type of restaurant concepts are going to be in there specifically yet? Or have y'all still kind of been researching that?
The tenant lineup is kind of starting to fill in and come to fruition. So we're working. I'm hesitating.
I know I can see it. There's some things you can't talk about. Right. And I'm not asking or prying.
Yeah. So there's a few restaurant tenants we're working with that
are different than what we have in Tomball currently. Exciting.
They're exciting.
Okay.
They are potentially somebody that's maybe in Tomball that wants to do a different concept that I think everybody would be very excited about. And then, yes, we have some new exciting concepts that just aren't in Tomball yet.
Right. You know?
It's going to be a great tenant mix. State Farm is a great, State Farm's in our office building now. I've got a great relationship with Mike Fletcher and his group over there. They want a little bit more visibility, so they're going to go from the office building and they're going to rent from us over at the retail center.
Got it.
We're working with some typical, you know, retail center lineups. But we are definitely very mindful of who's going to go in those end caps, those restaurants, have those patio spaces, and really have that pedestrian feel of, you know, and that energy that gets brought to the city.
That's what I'm excited for. Cause I live right, you know, nearby. I mean, obviously if you live in the city, you're nearby.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited about being able to hop in a golf cart and go to a really badass restaurant and then golf cart right back home, you know?
So that's something I didn't think about. We may have to do golf cart stalls.
Oh, 100%. Because Andrew's already got his. I'm jealous as shit and I'm waiting to get mine.
Gotcha.
I just got to wait for that child to get out of school, right, daycare, so that he can go to regular school,
right,
and then save my almost $1,000 a month there, you know?
Right.
But I'm excited for that type of stuff to come in. Honestly, you know, the older you get, the more excited you get about some dumb things you never thought you'd be excited about. Yeah. I am super excited about the amount of parking that you have in your place. Yeah. It's something you talked about at a council meeting and, or I know you definitely talked about it at the EDC meeting.
Yeah.
And so the parking is exciting because the city of Tomball has been lacking on parking for a long time. They're working on some great things for that too.
Yeah.
All things we've talked about with the EDC on this podcast, I just kind of wanted to bring them up and give them a shout out because I know that they make cool stuff like this happen. I mean, like you said, you weren't even positive that you were going to come to Tomball. You had heard about it. You had thought about it,
right,
but it was when they step in and they just kind of take over and convince you to come in, they sell you Tomball.
Yeah. And they, I mean, they do a great job. It became an easier sell once we got to know them. But they allow us to, you know, as opposed to cramming, for example, the retail center is 15,500 square feet. As opposed to trying to cram in 18,000 square feet to try to make the numbers work and be short on parking, you know, they're a great resource to say, okay, we can do this thing the way it should be done. We can do this thing where we're not real tight on parking. We have barely any landscape. We're just doing enough to get by and we're not doing any fun features, right? It's going to be real simple. They are very proactive in how they want Tomball to look and feel and backing that up with, you know, the projects they're doing, like the alleyways, for example, or, you know, any assistance they can give to developments that are in the area.
So, yeah,
I'm glad you're excited about the parking ratio because it's something it's those little things that, like, in a million years, you know, it's just driving by a center you probably wouldn't even think about.
But, right.
You know, you go from a 4-to-1, which is traditional retail, to a 7-to-1, which we are, 7 parking spaces per 1,000 square feet, like we are at our retail center. It makes a big difference. It makes a big difference for the community that's coming to visit the center, but it makes a big difference to the tenants and their ability to hit their numbers so they can pay rent and be successful. You know, so it's those little things that, again, we really pay attention to, and we feel like it's because we own, develop, lease, and manage. We're kind of involved in all aspects of our projects that we start looking at. Okay, this was an issue last project. We resolved it there, but let's make sure we don't repeat it at this one.
Fair. So. All right. Well, if all of this sounds good to me as a listener right now, and I'm like, how do I figure out if I want to go check this place out, see if it's something I kind of want to move into or maybe just start using as a co-working space? What's the best way to get in contact with you or see what you have available right now?
Yeah. So for the co-working, and really it's to get a hold of us in general, our website's www.thefieldtx.com. And if you fill out the little form online or our phone number's on there and give us a shout, happy to give tours of the Bank of America building, the field, or come out and check out the retail center. And then I office there. So I'm there. I've had it's been great because I'm friends with just about everybody in the building. And so I've had people that are interested in the retail center and they'll come by the bank and somebody from the bank or State Farm or one of the tenants will walk them over to my suite. So we're over there. We're at the building, or check us out at thefieldtx.com.
Gotcha. Do you have anything available for rent there right now, or are y'all booked up?
We have a couple suites left. So we have only three-person suites left, actually. So we have three-person suites left currently. That being said, I feel like once or twice a year we go through what we call musical suites as opposed to musical chairs, where tenants want to either downsize, upsize, and move around. So if a three-person suite maybe doesn't work for you, it's too big, too small, I would say reach out, and within 2, 3, 4 months, I'll probably have some of that musical suites going on and you can come check it out.
Heck yeah. No, that sounds amazing, man. Well, I really appreciate your time coming out here, sharing the story. I look forward to airing this episode. Hopefully we will sell out the rest of those suites that you have, and
appreciate it.
You won't have anything else, and you have to just buy another building like the old Wells Fargo building or something.
We're looking for a couple more projects. And I mean, truly, that's how great it's been to do these projects in Tomball. We're actively looking for a couple more projects here currently.
Heck yeah, man. Well, we wish you all the best.
Appreciate you having me. It's been great.
Absolutely. Listeners, thank you for tuning in for another episode of Small Business Origins. It's been another awesome story, another great entrepreneur, as always. And all we ask is for you to go like, share, subscribe, get this podcast out there to your friends. If you want somebody to be on the show, just like Peter was today, all you got to do is send them over to us. Head to the website, smallbusinessorigin.com. They can register as a guest. We'd love to have them. But that's it for us. We'll see you on the next one. And as always, stay beefy, my friends.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Small Business Origins.
I love an origin story.
If you like what you just heard, leave us a review, subscribe, and share with a friend.
You guys, check this out.
They're going to love it. You're going to love it.